Hello, I'm Penelope Maver, and welcome to Earth Converse podcast, where we explore our relationship and conversations with the earth, all in the hope of inspiring a deeper connection with ourselves, each other, and the earth that is our home. And I have Luigi Viscardi here. He's calling in from a beautiful island in Pantelleria, and he is the managing director of an amazing, innovative olive oil company, Fattoria Trivoli. And I met Luigi in a Vipassana retreat. We were volunteering, and I was really touched by his story because he had been in international development and relief, and he was taking a year off. He was turning 40, and he was taking a year off to really think about his life and what he is to do, and he really wanted to go into sustainability, and he ended up studying in sustainability, and he's taken that to the company now and establishing that. And so we're gonna duck and dive. Benvenuto. Ciao. So why did you say yes to this podcast?
Right, first of all, thank you for inviting me. Because I've never been invited to a podcast. Good. And I wanted to brush a little bit my ego.
And
so I said, okay, let's accept. No, mainly because I find you know, the earth connection important to me, and I wanted to see how I can support this type of communication.
Mm. What was your earliest childhood memory?
Running on trees or on the soil and get dirty and this type of things and enjoying it.
Yeah.
So being outside.
And how did that evolve? Like, how do you see about your connection with the earth?
It is a challenging question, but let's say I will try. My connection with the earth is myself, in the sense I am the earth and the earth is me, and this is the connection. Mm. So actually, it's more than a connection. It's being part of.
The feeling? Is it just a knowing, or is it?
First of all, knowing it, and then when I am aligned with myself, and when I am, let's say, in centered, also feeling it. Mm. Then when I am distracted and disconnected, not feeling anything.
Tell us about your story. Give us a little snapshot of your life.
So yes, after university, I went to, already before graduating from university, I found an internship in Brussels. I was selling boots of an exhibition, so 12, 24, 36 meter square boots or stand, contacting all type of possible brand interested in coming to this exhibition. And then you contact, I don't know, 10,000 possible people interested, and then out of 10,000 you have 200 interested, out of 200 you have 20 that come and participate. So I spent my role was mainly spending all day on the phone and trying to persuade people to come to this exhibition. And then after 1 year and a half in Brussels, the European lifestyle, everything comfortable, I wanted something more exciting. And so I started to apply everything available in the humanitarian sector. And
why
after,
the
I think again,
sector?
Because the humanitarian sector allowed me to travel and at the same time to do something meaningful for my life. Let's say using my time for something I believed into. Mm. Yeah. So again, same principle, no? The one that I applied for selling boots. I applied sending application. I sent 10,000 application. Out of 10,000 application, 200 at least replied. Out of 200, 10 were interested, and suddenly one Italian NGO sent me as a first mission to humanitarian deployment south of Iraq in 2004, Basra and Nasiriyah. And then I was based in Kuwait City because of the security issues. And then I spent there one year and a half. And after 1 year and a half in this type of context, of course, I had something to sell to other organizations. October 2004, Pakistan, big earthquake, again, Muslim country. So my 18 months in a work context in a Muslim country became a sort of a strength to sell to other organizations in order to convince them to send me to Pakistan. So I went to Pakistan in the mountains, 12 months. And then after Pakistan, Congo, RDC, in the middle of the jungle, always at the beginning, when you start this type of humanitarian sector, you're always sent in the field. The field, it means in remote areas, not really coordinating role. No? And after 1 year in Congo, I don't know why, I've always been attracted by the Pacific. And so I sent, I think, 50, 60 applications to organization in Australia to work in the Pacific, and no one ever even replied. Mm-hmm. When suddenly one, hey, Luigi, would you be interested to go to Papua New Guinea? Yeah, sure. Boom. Went to Papua New Guinea, 1 year and a half again. And then after 3-4 deployment, I started to have an interesting CV, and everything became easier. So after Papua New Guinea, earthquake in Haiti. So 1 year in earthquake in Haiti, Port-au-Prince. And then after Haiti, what did I do? Haiti. Back to the Pacific, Samoa, 1 year and a half. Beautiful place, Samoa. It's like a lost paradise island. It's really, really far. After Samoa, yes, three years in Vietnam. Beautiful country also, Vietnam. And then they stopped after 3 years in Vietnam. So Vietnam is still not many people speak English. So the first 1-2 years were very, very intense in terms of integrate and understand the culture. So after 3 years in Vietnam, I just wanted to have a break. And
You know, you say it sort of like a CV, like just sort of running through, and they're incredibly big experiences. What have you got to say about all that? You know, if you can package it all.
Amazing experience, first of all, because it grounded me very, very strongly, in the sense I had the opportunity to see diversity and to see poverty. And therefore, I think it's grounded in me the difference between illusion and reality. Ecco. Mm. And nowadays I use this trend in a sense I'm always grounded. So it's difficult that I fall for something that is not concrete and real. So fall in the sense I don't know about our society, you know, that there are a lot of things shining without anything behind. No? And then the diversity, you know, really seeing the diversity of the world, that's something that can be read in one place, in the other is upside down, or I don't know, Fafafini, for example, in Samoa, they are considered at the top level of the society, when no, in Europe they are considered Fafafini are transvestite. No? Yeah. Culture, diversity of thinking, of reasoning, of putting logic frame in the minds of people, mm-hmm. particularly in the Pacific, because it's really another world. And that's it.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you know, I think it's sort of like, yeah, that's just so profound. I mean, I think that in terms of seeing devastating, yeah, poverty and humanity in all its forms. But I like this idea of this sort of illusion and reality where you can ground yourself. I mean, even how do you, when you're going from place to place, feel grounded? Like, is there something that helps you connect with the earth, with the people? Is there something
See, at the end of the day, also know within the diversity, we may compare it to a theater where the scenery changes, but at the end, the actors are all the same. So human beings are the same all over the world.
The commonality. And what do you, in terms of in reflection, like, I mean, there's lots of things, you know, about there's a consciousness about white saviorism, white middle-class people going, particularly men going into the international development sector, white supremacy creating that need in the first place, the war that led to that. So in, I don't know, have you got any reflections on that whole white savior thing in the international
development? If you consider that 60 or 70 years ago, there was a world war, and 80 years ago, there was another world war. So human beings are evolving, and it is part of the evolution.
You were interested in it because you wanted adventure, you know, get out of Belgium and comfortable with Europe, and you want, you know, there's an adventure, adrenaline seeking thing. And there's also something you want to do, if you're value driven, you want to be it meaningful. In hindsight, because when you, that was, you know, a number of years ago, you started out there, would you go back into that? Like, would, do you see it differently now with Black Lives Matter and, you know, that there's a real sense of looking at our own white supremacy?
It depends how people behave. If you give your contribution, that's fine. It's not that I don't pretend to change the world, and neither to make human beings evolve faster. Time is needed in order to evolve. So if after 40, 50 years there is still supremacy, yes, there is, but it's definitely going to end. It's just a matter of time. And this is part of the human being's evolution, yeah. Understanding. Yeah. And of course, it would be better if... it wouldn't exist, but we are a species that learn from mistake, and this is the way how we evolve.
Yeah, we do need that pain and suffering to wake us up. I think there's something about that's what it is. But I'm also just sort of going back about sort of connecting with Earth. I love this, the idea that a friend's just come back to Mallorca, and she talks about in Uruguay the saying about, you might be physically there, but your soul takes a while to arrive. I mean, did you feel when you're going from, because, you know, a year and a half here, a year and a half there, how do you, still feel grounded in all those different places?
But then, I think, there is a human connection in the sense, you know, if you treat the others with other people with respect and you value them, so this connection is established very fast.
Yeah, that sort of humanity of wherever we are. Are there any particular stories you want to share? I know
No, I have so many. I have so many stories. Every mission, we call it mission in the humanitarian sector, but every deployment was really a chapter in itself. Because also, I grew up in each deployment. You know, I was facing different challenges, and I had to manage these challenges. So... it was also opportunity to grow as a technical skill in the sense of general management, but also as a human beings. And at the end of the day, really, just go in a place and you start to do what you're supposed to do, valuing the other people, listening to the other to other people, and gradually, you know, redirecting things as you would like to redirect it in according, you know, sharing ideas, involving people, participating.
After Vietnam, it was sort of like Basta.
Yes, it was like 10 years in the field. No, I wanted to have a break, and then I also had a little bit of money to allow me to have this break, so I said, yes, why not?
You know, like, not many people take a year out. In that, I think that's really sacred.
Yeah, maybe they should. This is my Italian side, you know, that maybe I'm more comfortable and easygoing. So, no, if I can have holiday, I definitely will take it.
Well, no, but it wasn't a holiday. Even, you know, it's actually even difficult to not work. We can disguise ourselves behind that work or having to do something or having that structure, having to, our ego being massaged because we're in a certain role. I think it's, to step back from that. So what did you do in that year?
First of all, it took 6 months just doing nothing, really nothing. It wasn't so difficult for me to achieve this very challenging task of doing nothing.
Wasn't it healing, though? Was it a little bit of your own body and your mind, like?
I just focus on other things, on what I like. So I slow down my pace. I meditated. I just traveled. Just chilling, cruising from one place to the other one without really having something must have to do. No, just doing what you feel like doing.
I think you were quite, it seems like you were quite curious at that time, sort of following your nose. I mean, I know that you sort of, you do that anyway, but just sort of like, oh, what's there? And, you know, what's here? And yeah. So that was the first 6 months.
I wanted to study because in the humanitarian sector is sustainability. You know, everybody speak about sustainability because, of course, it's very important. Also, there is an evolution. You know, in the 70s or 80s, you know, there were this humanitarian aid. Then after the white supremacy was leaving the country, the project collapsed. No? So it was very important having a sustainable approach. And I never understood what meant exactly sustainability, no? Yeah. Because everyone had different idea and no one knew exactly what it was. So I think I took advantage of doing a master. I wanted to further study. And sustainability was something that I wanted to explore more and better understand. It's also a modern science, so I thought it would have been helpful for my future. And I went to Sweden to attend and participate and enroll in this master study. So it was a 10 months process, challenging, transformational, and very happy with it.
Yeah, tell us more about the detail of it and detail of that transformation.
First of all, we are 50 people from 32 countries, or something like that. Age group from 22 till 45, 50. Mm. So it was very diverse. When you blend all these people together, of course, it can be only fun and very interesting and challenging as well. I got what I wanted to receive, so I received knowledge, scientific knowledge about sustainability. Plus, there were elements of leadership and then element of strategic management, because mainly to move the society from unsustainable to sustainable, what you need is, of course, understanding sustainability. And then you need to be a leader in order to move the society. And then you need also strategic management in order to mainstream sustainability or in a community or in a company or even in your home, in your own house or in your own self, no?
Mm. And we'll get into that because of how you've actually applied that. But what was sort of also the, you know, your own inner transformation? Was it about, because I know that you wanted the knowledge in terms of feeling secure about that, or was it about, I can really step in as a leader there? Or what was it?
See, mainly the transformation is that who studied this type of topic, you can imagine, you know, let's say are the modern hippie, no? Sort of.
Yes, we need sustainability to be mainstreamed. You're quite, yeah.
If you go and study an MBA, most probably you find people that come from bank, come from business, etc., etc. If you go and study sustainability, you find a bit of mix of everything, but let's say there is a majority that is a sort of hippie mentality, no, not really hippie mentality, but people that easy going, take it easy, like traveling, grounded to earth. Yeah. So when you are surrounded by this type of people, they inject in you, or they help you to understand a lot of things that maybe I was not exposed before. No?
For example?
All type of leadership related to spirituality, leadership related to community development, this type of tools that are more into the circle of life, this type of thing that are a little bit considered hippie, no?
Yeah.
The transformation is, I think, nowadays, not the society gradually is integrating these type of things into the day-to-day management. Yeah. Then, of course, depends which society and which company, but the future company will be like this.
Yeah. And I think, once again, it's the diversity of perspectives. When you've got diverse thought, and actually it's that mix of integrating, everyone's learning from each other. The bank is learning from the hippie's learning from the bank. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also part of ourselves. Part of me is a banker, part of me is a hippie, and it's sort of, when we meet people like that, we can feel even more resourceful and expansive, can't we? And you fell in love there?
Ah, yes, I met a girl from Spain, and then I ran out of money, and therefore I just jumped on the first available job, and suddenly I found myself in Nepal, in Kathmandu, where I spent 1 year and a half. And she came with me in Nepal, and then it was a challenging situation because not everybody is made for this type of. It's not easy, let's say, to adapt to new society, new context, very different society. There is people that is more connected to family, to network of friends. For me, this type of things, my friends are where I am, Echo, and. I don't need to have my network of friends with me. Then we broke up and nothing. I was in Tuscany, started to attend different type of seminar and different type of things that was interesting to me, and also suddenly appearing in front of me by destiny or chance. So I enrolled in a coaching training, and I became a certified life and relationship coach.
So tell us about that. What's your approach in terms of life and relationship coaching?
Through coaching, you know, helping people to become more aware of their behaviors or their way of thinking, their convictions, way of acting. And therefore, you know, once that people or human beings are more aware of their conviction, way of behaving, and then understanding the root and the cause of this type of behavior or conviction, you know, then they relate to other people, first of all to themselves, and second to other people in more accurate manner.
Mm. And what did you learn about yourself?
What I learned about nothing. I'm perfect.
And if you were coaching yourself?
No, what I learned about myself, many things. You know, sometimes it's easy to play the victims. Sometimes it's easy to blame the other. Sometimes it's easy also to run away. Time for me, it's very easy, black or white. No, or it is or nothing. No, and then no, gradually I learned that is an aspect of my character, you know, that or is black or is white, but actually there are a lot of grays tone. What more recently, I was reading a book there are different scars. All human beings have scars. And recently reading this book, I realized that I am affected by a scar called tradimento. When you are affected by... betrayed. So when you are betrayed, then you put the mask of the fugitive, or whatever it is. So you run away from because you know you are betrayed. You don't want to be anymore in this type of situation of being betrayed, and therefore you run away. I learn many things every day about myself.
Yeah, lovely. But that's a lovely consciousness, you know. And not only your own journey, but also helping others and seeing that. I also think, going back to the leadership part, is that actually coaching skills, I think, is the most fundamental leadership skill and tool, because you are really helping the person unleash their own potential. You know that the other person has got the wisdom and they just have to look inside themselves. And I think if actually more leaders took a coaching approach in their organization, you know, it would be helping us unleash human potential. I believe fundamentally in it. It's part of my executive coaching, is a core part of my Earth Converse. I had coaching programs to help people do that. I really fundamentally believe in it.
So, see, definitely. You know, I use it in my everyday, so in our farm. No one, the shop was closed, this didn't work. The excuses, everyone know that these are only excuses, and we need to get the result done.
Seeing, you know, people taking responsibility and actually feeling sort of empowered by that?
See, I think it's a process. At the beginning, you know, there is some people that is more easy to take into this type of, let's say, path, and others that obstacle because they don't understand and they are convinced that it is not because of their mistake, but because of the mistake of another. But I know we are all diverse.
Hey, and tell us, you're in Toscana, you're doing the life and relationship coaching. And so, yeah, tell us about the trip to Pavia. Tripoli?
May 2018, I took a break after Nepal, 3-4 months, when suddenly a friend of mine called me and asked me, buying a property in Tuscany, in Florence, why we don't try to take advantage of this and run the property in a way to do something beautiful about it, no? So we talked a little bit and we came up with the solution to try to become a worldwide leader of top quality of extra virgin olive oil.
Why not?
Where quality is not only the oil, which of course need to be the really best quality, but quality is also environment, climate change, treating people, so social and environmental sustainability. Ecco.
But it was the perfect opportunity, isn't it, to put your, literally, all your learnings and your passions together.
An opportunity that, of course, interested me, and it was an opportunity to work with friends. Food is something that attracts me, quality food, for healthy food is something that I believe into, so... it was something that, an opportunity that in tune with my cord.
Yeah, really.
And therefore, let's try. Yes, let's do it. Even if, I can tell you, it wasn't easy to, I miss a lot, particularly the first 3, 6, 9 months, 12 months, the humanitarian sector. Because now, I rarely practice my languages. The biggest diversity maximum is from another region of Italy. So before, it was speaking, changing languages, shifting from one language to another, one like this, without even noticing, multiculturality, so having friends from all parts of the world, having dinner maybe with 8, 9, 10 nationality on the table. Now if there is people from another, let's say, commune, is already a lot, very diverse.
Well, that's kind of nice, because you can go not the extremes, between the black and white. You find the diversity in the smallest,
Because at the end we are all diverse. That's true. That's true.
We are.
But at the beginning, yes, it was really, really, really difficult.
But I can imagine. But also the adrenaline, I think, of the humanitarian sector. It's a totally different country, and there's this sort of this urgency to help. So it's a different pace. Olive harvesting, it's a totally different time and patience. Like, you're really, in many respects, slowing down.
See, exactly. It's very different. And then step by step, the project took shape. From one, I was alone at the beginning because my friend, of course, he was part of it, but mainly at the beginning, he let me, let's say, I am the managing director, so it is my responsibility to do it. When I started in May 2018, now we are 8. When you are 2 already, it becomes more interesting. When you are 3, it becomes more interesting, because you have a responsibility to each other, and then it's more fun to work in team than alone. And then you learn from each other, and then the project now really took an interesting shape, in the sense that now it starts to become fun. At the beginning, when you are alone, for me it's a little bit boring working alone. I don't like it.
Well, for sure, yeah. From what I know, it was always, in terms of connecting people, I always thought of you as sort of a, trying to get different ideas from different people, and that energy of that. But I just love this momentum you're creating, and also just how you're communicating sort of externally, like either social media, that fun element. It seems it's a big value that you're fostering, nurturing together.
It really became something interesting, because we embraced a type of agriculture which is highly traditional, but at the same time very innovative, because it's a type of agriculture as agriculture was made 200 years ago, before the Industrial Revolution. It's a type of agriculture which is 100% sustainable. It's a type of agriculture that fight climate change. So it is becoming.
What do you mean in particular? How, in what way?
Because we do regenerative agriculture, and the regenerative agriculture have the objective to increase the soil fertility. First of all, you don't need to put any adding things. In the sense, more a soil is fertile, and more the plant and the roots find all the nutrients element within the soil without extra outsider, no? And second, a fertile soil, it means a soil rich in organic material. When you have a soil rich in organic materials, you have a soil that in case of intense water, it can absorb this water better and prevent landslide, for example. In case of intense scarcity of water, a fertile soil, of course, because it's fertile, because there is humus, there is organic material inside, you know, it can resist for longer time to scarcity of water. The conventional agriculture made in the last 100 years is decreasing the fertility of soils.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
Because chemicals in nature is the perfect sustainable thing. You know, if there are olives grow fruit, nature wants that this fruit go on the soil, and then it rotten, and then the soil absorb again, and then it is grave to grave process.
Yeah.
So when we prune our trees, instead of burning the leftover of the pruning, that of course is CO2 in the air, etc., which is a common, let's say, habit, what do we do? We cut it very fine, and then we give it back to the soil. So in this way, the soil then gradually absorb it and become step-by-step organic material. So let's say the regenerative agriculture is a way to move from linear to circular agriculture. So all the waste become a resource. So before the waste, or before most of the conventional agriculture, the waste is burnt. So we turn this waste into a resource for our farm and for the soil, and then we use it. See, so it is to say that at the end it's becoming more just than producing extra virgin olive oil. It is have a meaning, have a purpose, you know, and then of course the oil step by step now is becoming good. We are winning prices, so it's a high satisfaction.
And it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful oil and a beautiful bottle. So tell us about the steel.
See, this is a steel, is a stainless steel bottle because the big enemy of extra virgin olive oil are the light and the oxygen. So in this bottle, first of all, there is no light at all. It's totally dark inside, so preserve the nutrients of the extra virgin olive oil at the maximum. And then is a type of bottle conceived with a very thin neck. And therefore, the amount of oxygen in it is minimum. And then we use it because it's a stainless steel bottle. This can last forever. First of all, the steel is 100% recyclable. First. And second, it can last forever. So when you finish your extra virgin olive oil bottle, we also sell a bagging box of 3 liters. So you have your bottle of 0.5 and the 3 liters, and you refill it. Then if you don't want to refill it with our oil and you want to refill it with water, with wine, or with whatever you want, you can refill it with other things.
Do that.
So, but we are at the beginning, you know. Now we really need to focus on improving the packaging and making our concept less is more. So everything related to our package need to be functional.
And
what is functional also need to be with material that are already projected into the future. 100% recyclable or plastic free. This year will be the year of the really focusing on the packaging, and we'll find solution.
Yeah, you were a wonderful product and wonderful vision. And there's learning, like white privileged male, it's multicultural, a real understanding of the world and how it works, and really this passion and knowledge of sustainability and this coaching style. You're putting that in practice with your own company. That's a good role model to me, actually. And we need our leaders to step into that. So you're a practical guy. So how can we mainstream, you know, coaching sustainability, enlightened executives, as I like to call them? You know?
See, but it is wake up call. No, I try to give it every day in my small world, give my contribution. And then there is also a lot of people that don't want to wake up. They really like their comfort zone. It's not that not everyone want the same. There's people that like the sense of security, safety, and day-to-day routine, and they are also free to embrace their lifestyle as they think is the best for them, as they think. You know, many times I also try to give wake-up call to people, but they don't want to hear it, or because maybe they are lazy, or maybe because maybe they are so far to this wake-up call that they don't understand it, or maybe because waking up, it would mean realizing that maybe a lot of years have been wasted, I don't know. But there are so many reasons that... So what I do, I try to do it for myself, and I try to do it for the people that surround me.
And so have you got any advice for anybody, or anything you want to particularly say?
See, being greedy for learning, for challenging yourself, understanding who we are in terms of our soul, as a human beings. Yes, trying every day to improve who we are.
And what are your daily practices to, you know, about your soul, your connection with the earth? What do you do? I mean, you obviously do some reflection, but...
I drink 2 bottles of red wine every day.
Well, that too.
No. Alcohol, of course. Also, we live in a society where alcohol is something that... people use it. But anyway, it's good. Sometimes I also drink and I enjoy alcohol. No, but I try to avoid it and to use it maybe once per week maximum, something like that. What I do, I meditate. I have coaching session with my coach. I read. I do some sport.
You're saying, you know, it's part, you know, it's part of you. The earth is part of you. But is there anything that you do in particular to sort of nurture that connection explicitly?
Hey, I think meditation.
Yeah.
Explicitly, I think is meditation for me.
You feel that. Yeah.
Or my dog.
Yeah, let's see, pun. Yeah. But you are a real animal lover. I mean, you're always rescuing animals, aren't you? I had a view on episode 2 and I said, you know, like some people are really comfortable talking to their dogs or their cats, but they then won't sort of feel the same way as talking to a tree. It's funny.
Yeah.
You know, like how we're different. Yeah.
But
it doesn't even have to be talking. It's just feeling connected with that spirit, isn't it?
Yes, meditation, and then isolate. I like also to isolate myself as much as I can, at least once or twice per year. I think is very important to disconnect from everything and from everyone and reconnect or reconsider what I'm doing, if I can change, if I can do something better, and then learning. So I always find training or course to be part of in order to remain, because after it's like, no, you play soccer, if you don't play soccer for 5 years, you become fat and...
But you are really
not anymore able to play soccer.
Yeah, you are.
So no, I always try to volunteer here, volunteer there, in order to be connected to what I think is important for me.
Yeah, I really, really respect that. When you, in terms of you needing to be away, you know, and disconnect yourself, and that those periods of solitude, I think it's a lovely thing that you can commit to your own self. So thank you so much for turning up for this conversation, Luigi. And a bit of product placement, but I highly recommend viewers go and order your oil.
Ah, yes, thank you. Thank you. Thanks to you for inviting and for showing some interest in what I do. And
yeah, of course. We'll put a pause here and see you back for the next Earth Converse podcast. In the meantime, go out and enjoy Earth, one conversation at a time.